When this boy meets world, boy meets world. She's gonna kill me.
Ray Ray is fundamental, number one podcast from the get-go. And since you're listening, you got good sense, so let me break it down on this instrumental. It's basketball and all its essences. It's full of pop culture references. Point guards to stretch fours and fives, the last Buffy episode. Despite survive? Never mind, let me get on track. Houston had a good run and a team was stacked. We had plans for the T-Wolves, y'all remember? Quick question in sync, who's your favorite member? Oops, I did it again. Hold up, wait, best team on the court, probably Golden State. Curry and them, they out this world, but that's Ray's top five, he's saying it's Spice Girls.
What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 101, recorded on Wednesday, August the 22nd, 2018, brought to you by RayRay.net. My name is Ray Ray. I took a week off. I said I was going to try to turn out a podcast. Well, I didn't really say it, but I was planning to turn out every podcast every week or so. I know I release quite a bit in the months of April and May. But I wanted to be consistent, try to release a podcast every week, but I decided to do just a little socializing, I guess you can say that, over the past week or so. I was at Phoenix for a game convention, I was at Las Vegas, and I was just catching up with some old friends. I mean, being social is exhausting, guys. Like, I'm 39 years old, and I probably should just be like, I don't know, staying home or something the entire my body can't take it, man. I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how some of you guys just like go out there and get drunk and go clubbing or whatever. I could never do it in the first place. I can't even do it now. I don't even drink anymore. So yeah, socializing is exhausting. But I will say this. I do want to say that I am very happy about something. Crazy Rich Asians, as you know, an all Asian American or / British cast that was released in the movie theaters. It's the first all Asian movie in contemporary times released in the last 25 years, and that's crazy to me. Joy Luck Club was released in 1993. That was the only other movie that has an all Asian cast released in contemporary times. I can't even speak right now, but. It ended up being number one in the box office. I'm so happy about that. That means that a lot of Asians in Hollywood can get more roles. And even better, and it's kind of stupid that it'll take a movie to do this, but my gosh, like, we can finally be seen as something else besides martial artists or geeks or people that just, you know, that just are weird tourists, or they're good in math and they play chess and they just don't want, they're going to turn the other cheek sort of people. We're not all that, guys. We can be leading men. We can be leading women, too. We can be sports writers. We can fight back. We can be every other normal person in America, guys. And that's what Crazy Rich Asians is all about in terms of, like, promoting Asians in general. So I'm very happy about that. And I can relate to all of that stuff in the movie. Except for the Crazy Rich part, because, come on, man, like, I don't even make that much money to begin with. I know there's a movie called Searching coming out, which has John Cho as the protagonist. And I believe that's about an Asian family. So continue to support Asian casted movies. We just want to be like everyone else out there, you know? So that's all I'm saying. And I'm very happy that Crazy Rich Asians was number one in the box office. And it's also getting pretty much greenlit for a sequel. So, I am very happy about that. What else? We're going to continue this series with women in sports media and whatever else. I have Jessica Kleinschmidt from Cut4, MLB.com. She covers baseball. we're going to talk baseball and her experience as a woman in sports media. Again, we're trying to give women a platform here, and I do find it a little bit funny that I know a lot of my friends who have basketball podcasts are they're doing great work, they're doing great basketball work and whatnot, analyst work and stuff like that. But I'm just weirded out that what about the women, guys? Have them as guests. They know about sports. They probably know more sports than you do, really. So, I'm giving them a platform. I'm going to try to go through this throughout the NBA offseason and try to split it between men and women for this podcast after that. And, just want to give them a chance. You know what I mean? So, so Jessica is going to school me about baseball. Her experience as a baseball player, actually. She's going to talk about that. What am I missing in the MLB? And, is the MLB in a good place? So, yeah, we're going to talk about all of that. Great, extensive conversation with Jess. That's actually my first extensive conversation with her, actually. Like, we follow each other on Twitter for the last few years now. But, it's just a tweet here and there, a serenade here and there, stuff like that. And now is my first real conversation with her. So, before we get to that talk, I just want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Android, Anchor, whatever else podcast app you prefer. Follow me on Twitter at the Nola Pass. Follow the podcast Twitter at RayRayIsFun, because you cannot fit RayRayIsFundamental on a Twitter handle. They only allow 16 characters. So, yeah, that's about it. Promo, then Jess.
It's Jasmine Brown, and you're listening to the RayRayIsFundamental podcast.
RayRayIsFundamental podcast, episode 101. Thank you guys for listening to me for that many episodes, if you did at all. My guest! She writes and talks baseball at Cut 4, which is basically all the awesome stuff you can find about Major League Baseball. She's also the host of her own baseball YouTube show called Infinite Jess. And we can get more than infinite on this podcast as we get to know the fantastic Jessica Kleinschmidt. What is up?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I told you, I've been wanting to come on this forever.
Liar.
I swear.
Okay, so what was it that why you wanted to come on? Is it because of all the women I've had on this podcast so far? You wanted to be in on this, basically? Or what's up?
Well, of course. I mean, the women that you've interviewed for this, some of the women I look up to, have seemed like big names and women that I strive to, be similar to, and to be a part of it was just a dream of mine. So, yeah.
I mean, you're, to be honest, like, when I see you out there, I feel like you're one of the more rising stars when it comes to, women in sports media, basically. So, of course, it was an honor.
Thank you.
It was an honor when I asked you to come on this podcast. So, actually, I wanted to talk to you. How the hell did you find me on Twitter? Because suddenly it's like Jessica Kleinschmidt following me on Twitter. Like, what the heck? Like, I don't talk baseball.
I try to find people who are genuine and real, even if it's not a baseball-related thing. I think that I want to trust the people. I don't want people following me just because they like baseball. I want them to read our content at Cut 4, my content personally. Some of my best friends in the whole wide world can't stand baseball, but they love to read the stuff that I produced or watch the stuff that I produced, and I want everybody to kind of relate on that level. So when it comes to that aspect, it's not just about baseball. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I can find people that are in the sports media world and everything like that. So mm-hmm. that's why I ultimately find people that I want to hang out with and be speak to, if you will.
Well, I appreciate that you find me real and genuine. Although, come on, I'm not verified on Twitter. You might think that you're talking to a dog right now.
I feel like the verification of Twitter is such a joke these days. Like, people put so much pressure on it. Like,
yeah.
And maybe I'll be saying a different tune if I didn't have a verification, but, like, I feel like people treat you so differently the moment you get a blue check mark, whether that's good or bad, we don't really know. But it's just, I think it's a little bit of a joke, like, how much people stress over getting that blue check mark or having a certain amount of followers. And to me, I feel like in this industry, it's quality over, quantity. And mm-hmm. you can have 500 followers, but if you have some solid followers, like, for work and stuff like that, like, you're doing a fine job.
Mm-hmm. So, was this always a dream for you? You've always liked baseball, I take it, right?
I've always loved baseball, but mm-hmm. when I was younger, I thought all you could do as a woman was be a sideline reporter, and I'm not taking that away from that. Mm-hmm. I think sideline reporting is extremely important, but I thought it was silly how that was all women could really do. And so as I continue to go, like, I love, you know, writing. I feel like the written word will never die. It's, you know, I love poetry. I love reading. I love the written word. And it was nice to know that digital media was kind of coming out and you could do stuff and you could actually be, you know, a well-known person just by having a YouTube channel or just by, you know, being a blogger or what have you. So I was going to do something, but I thought all I could do is be a silent reporter, which I could probably do that too. But I thought it was kind of cool that as time went on, there was more that I could contribute to the sports media world. But yeah, ever since I was 12 years old, I was like, I have the gift of gab. I love mm-hmm. talking to people. I love asking questions. I love answering questions about baseball. And, you know, I was raised around the time where I fell in love with the steroid era happened, and I went through this weird phase of hating Barry Bonds and hating Mark McGwire and hating Sammy Sosa, because when I was, you know, 11, 12, these were my heroes, right? Mm-hmm. But as I got more educated on not just what it does to your body, but what it does to the socialism of baseball and what it can do to your reputation, I had a totally newfound respect for those men, and now I support steroids. I feel like it's the best thing to ever happen to baseball, as silly as it sounds, like, mm-hmm. you know, and even former players tell me the same thing. Like, whatever, steroids happened, and a lot of former players are open about it now. Mark McGwire is open about it. So it was just now that I kind of have a different perspective on both loving and hating the steroid era, that certainly helps me, because it helps you think of, you know, the transition of sports nowadays, not just baseball, which is a very non-progressive sport, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. the way that technology is changing and the way that we're interacting with players and interacting with each other, it's a love-hate thing. I love that we can be open on social media, but I also hate that every time I post something about Barry Bonds, people are like, oh, Juice, you did stories. Hey, let's talk about other shit he's accomplished. Like, right. Stop. So it's just, you know, and from that aspect, but it's nice to kind of be at my age where I've seen the A-Rods and the Bartolo Colons both start, have their peak career and go towards the end. So I kind of love that I can give that perspective to not just baseball, but the sports media world.
You know, it's funny because the most I watched baseball was during that steroid era. It was the home run chase between McGwire and Sosa and Griffey at the time. That was the most I watched baseball. Yeah. And even when Barry Bonds hit 73, I was still watching a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it's insane how people are kind of like, you know, just trying to forget about the era now.
I know, and that's the thing. Like I said, people crave that now. Now that, I mean, steroids are obviously, I don't think, ever going to go away, but the players are hitting the crap out of the ball, and it's bringing more fans into it. And I guess numbers are showing that fans aren't really into it, but I think we are getting new fans, but old fans are kind of getting tired of these constant home runs and strikeouts that are happening. But I think that's what the casual fan needs. You need somebody to just hit a bomb every time he goes up to the plate, because if you're not a hardcore fan, you're not going to appreciate it. So I don't mind bandwagon fans. I used to hate them. I used to absolutely hate them, and I used to hate the girls or the guys that would come out just because they thought Chris Bryant was a cutie patootie. Like, I used to hate those people. But now I'm like, you know what? No, you are bringing revenue into the love of my life. You're helping me maintain a job and, you know, and stuff like that. And I think that's what it's important for me and cut for, like, people are always bashing baseball and saying it's boring, and it's not true. And that's what Cut 4 is reminding us, is baseball's fun, and we want to show you X, Y, and Z, Y. Mm-hmm. So it's super important, you know, home runs, bat flips, swagger. And I wish, you know, the NBA is filled with swagger and pop culture, and I think baseball is really trying to bring that out. But like I said, it's so non-progressive, and it's so difficult because these old-school guys want to, you know, only talk about certain things, and I hope we can bring more swag and fun into it, and it's embraced more. So I think the steroid era kind of started that all, and you saw Jose Canseco in his crop top, this beautiful man, just hitting the crap out of the ball. I think that was so important because it brought the pop culture into it, and it was so shunned that now there's a dark cloud over it, and we want to kind of make some more bright spots. And I think that's what we do at Cut Four, and that's what I'm trying to do personally as a journalist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny that I talked to Lana Berry 3 years ago. Oh, my God. But that was a while back. But yeah, and we were talking a little bit about how, like, people just don't like the bat flips and, you know, the showboating and whatnot. Like, and I don't get it. Like, why are they so against this sort of thing?
Because people want to be upset about everything. And I've heard Lana Berry, I think she was on the same podcast as me once, and she made a good point. She said, people are going to be offended at everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm trying to work on that. I think everybody is. And I have my own personal beliefs in, you know, politics, religion, what have you. And I try to steer clear of that. But sometimes, you know, you want to be yourself on social media, and I try to do that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I keep a few things out because obviously I can't be cussing like crazy and all that. But I understand where she's coming from in that. But in our defense, we're trying to, you know, we understand, but we also want to respect the game too. Like, mm-hmm. like think about, you know, Brett Boone or the other guys that kind of get really offended by that. I want to respect them in a certain way because they do have the right to say what's on their mind. They grew up playing baseball in the 70s and 80s, right? Yeah. So there was no social media. So how the hell do we know what they were going through when I was not part of the media back then? I was just, you know, listening through my mom's belly. I don't really know what was going on. So it was just, yeah, so you don't really know. So it's difficult because you want to respect the elders of the game, but you also want to respect the new people trying to make it in the game. I think Rob Manfred's working on that. So it's difficult to find a balance, and I'm really hoping we do find that in the near future.
Because back then, I remember when Griffey would hit a home run, and he would just kind of look at the ball and kind of walk and then jog to first base or whatever. And people said that was disrespectful. Yeah. And I was like, what? That's weird. It's already out of the park. He can do what he wants, right? He hit the ball. That's how I see it, you know? So I don't know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of weirded out about that. Who was your favorite growing up watching baseball?
Well, like I said, like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were kind of going at that battle back and forth when I really fell in love with the sport. My first game I remember going to when I was old enough to remember was Eric Chavez. And I actually just saw him 2 days ago. He's coaching for the Salt Lake City Bees, which is the Angels AAA affiliate. And he looks better than he ever did. And so right when I sat down at the A's game billions of years ago, Eric Chavez hit a bomb. I didn't realize who it was. And I looked at the program and I realized, like, wow, this guy and I share the same birthday. And he also just happened to be playing third base, which was the position I was learning in Little League. So I kind of fell in love with him. And then, but when it was a Cal Ripken household, I was born in Baltimore, so we loved Cal Ripken. And, but I think if it wasn't for Eric Chavez hitting that home run, I don't know if I could say that I'd be an A's fan. So he's the reason why I try to push the A's into the media as much as possible. So those are probably the four main guys that I always think about. And then, you know, Rafael Palmeiro, when he was going through his steroid stuff, that was a project I was working on. And, mm-hmm. and I kind of got like more obsessed with the steroid situation from a social aspect.
Right.
Everybody else was doing a similar project to me, but all they did was, oh, this is what it does to your body. And I was like, you know what? Screw this. Nobody gives a shit what it does to your body. Like, what does it do to your social life? And what does it do to your reputation? So that's what I fell in love with. And it was one of my favorite projects I've ever done. So those were, like, the bulk guys that kind of did it for me. And as time goes on, you know, like, I feel like I can relate more to Barry Bonds. And, you know, growing up, he was never really a guy I was obsessed with, but also I was an A's fan, so I trained myself to hate the Giants. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, I cover more Giants stuff than the A's, which is kind of funny. But, so those are kind of, like, the main guys that I kind of get all soft and mushy and Nicholas Sparks romantic when I think about myself playing Little League. And those are the guys you look up to, you know?
Right.
So those are kind of those dudes, yeah.
Yeah. Funny thing is that, like, Barry Bonds, like, Lana reminded me that Barry Bonds looks like the happiest guy in the world now. Like, I see his Instagram,
and he's
just smiling everywhere, which is fantastic. And no one seems to talk about that. Right? It's just like, it's weird to me.
Yeah.
And Rafael Palmeiro, wasn't he, like, trying to make a comeback recently?
Yeah, so he, I want to say, 54, 56 years old. And he basically was like, hey, I'm going to try to do this. And he was hitting the shit out of the ball, you know, in the batting cages. And who else? Rick Ankiel. He's trying. Wow. He's like threw a couple innings. Yeah, he threw an inning, and he wants to come back. And I honestly love that. And I was on a podcast recently talking about that. I think that's so important for these guys. I mean, look at Bartolo Colon. The guy is 8,000 years old, and he found a way to change how he was and how he was pitching to adjust to what's going on. And that's not just from, you know, and especially as a pitcher, where that's the first guy to get the most injured, you know, to get the Tommy John surgery and everything like that. And he's able to transition over time and make himself still a really solid pitcher. So if they think they can do that, like, by all means, go for it.
Is he, like, the most personable guy in baseball right now? Because I see a lot of people that still love him, like, all over my timeline. I mean, it's great. He's, like, what, 46 years old or whatever? And I remember him.
He just turned 46. 45. Just turned 45. And I don't know. Well, what's your definition of personable?
Everyone seems to talk about him, basically. Everyone seems to praise him, all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's because it's so unique. Mm-hmm. He's older. He's just fun. His body type's different. And I recently did a podcast, my own show about this. Mm-hmm. And it was cool to get, like, even the negative stuff. Like, he was, you know, he went through the steroid situation, too. But I feel like that's everybody's excuse. Like, oh, he did steroids. Okay. Well, all right. Is that it? Is that all you have? And, you know, he was in the headlines for some personal stuff. And these guys aren't perfect. But he's such, like, a unique individual that it's fun. So mm-hmm. personable, I don't know is the right word, but okay. I want to say like
an anomaly.
He's such an anomaly. Mm-hmm. I like that word. Mm-hmm.
So who else am I missing out in terms of baseball? Like I know we have Yasiel Puig here and Mike Trout here in Southern California. New York has Giancarlo Stanton. Am I missing out on anyone else out here on baseball that I should be like, hey, Ray, if you want...
Joey Votto, hello.
Okay.
Really? Okay. I love him. And the thing that's awesome about Joey Votto is he's genuinely like a heroic figure to me because I like the way that he's quirky and unique. He says this on his mind. But you could also... He's so ridiculously, like... knowledgeable with baseball, and he always wants to learn. Like, he's on the DL right now, but you see him in the dugout just chatting with everybody, asking questions, and trying to chat with them, and it just feels like everything he does is so cut-for-y, but also, when he's talking about hitting, you stop and you listen. Mm-hmm. Whether you give a crap about hitting or not, you want to listen to what he has to say. And, you know, Mitch Haniger is one of those rising stars that's coming out right now. He's not like a super, like a guy that's going to do something quirky, but he's just a phenomenal player. Alex Bregman loves to do stuff with the media. He and Reese Hoskins, they're fun. Chase Darnot is like a natural performer. He's you know, having a really solid season. He just got bumped up to the Giants, and he's been stellar there, but he's also hilarious, and he's a natural performer. Mm-hmm. And so if baseball doesn't work out for him, he's going to do great things, you know, in front of a camera. And the Reds team is actually just a fun team to watch. So if you ever come in contact and you happen to be in Cincinnati, buy yourself a few cheap tickets, and you could do that. Mm-hmm. And then the Astros are always fun to watch. They do some fun stuff. I just finished a fun little article of them, like, messing with the cameraman. The A's are having a great season, and I'm not being biased. They're genuinely being a team that I fell in love with several years back, and part of the reason, like, my little blog that I wrote was because the A's were having such a good season. Mm-hmm. So there's always something you can follow in baseball. Mm-hmm.
So you feel that MLB is in a pretty good place right now because we got the NBA. They're saying it's rising. NFL's kind of falling. How about the MLB?
MLB is doing good, and mm-hmm. I feel like content is something that I'm always going to love. Mm-hmm. I strive to make sure I know what my followers are retweeting of mine, what they find interesting, and I feel like any sport, you can do that, and you can find the right content. People are going to read it. People are going to watch it, mm-hmm. And all of that stuff. So I think that, yeah, MLB is great. And I feel like Cut 4 is so unique.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you don't love baseball, you're still going to like our stuff. And I think NFL got so wrapped up in politics
yeah.
that it's almost kind of exhausting. NBA, I don't love basketball, but if I'm ever at a bar and the game's on, even next to a baseball game,
right.
which the overlap doesn't really happen a lot, I'll still watch an NBA game because it's so quick, it's so fast, and I talked about pop culture and, like, the style and everything like that. It's so fun just to, like, learn about these players and everything like that. And but yeah, obviously football is different for me because I worked as a fantasy analyst, and it really took a lot of love out of the game for me. And it was around the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. It just stressed me out. And every time you mention something, there's politics, and not to mention the injuries that occur that are, like, life threatening.
Yeah.
And that scares me. And so I can understand why NFL is falling, but I don't think NBA will ever change. It's so good for the African American community because that, you know, it highlights them and shows off, you know, what they're bringing to the table, not African Americans, but the basketball players. And just, like I mentioned, the culture is so fun and so relatable and so different at the same time, which is kind of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I love following NBA content. And that's a lot of fun as well.
Hey, it's Sarah Spain from ESPN, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
So if you were commissioner of the MLB, or at least had the mm-hmm. power to change stuff in Major League Baseball, what would it be? Because I keep hearing baseball has too many games, 162, which I hear of other sports mm-hmm. too. NBA has too many games, not 82. But what would you change about the MLB?
I don't know if I would change the number of games. I feel like that would affect a lot of records that say, you know, Barry Bonds hit 762 home runs, but he had 162 games to do it in. And what if, you know, Parker Bidwell or whoever is trying to do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have the same amount of chances. That's unfair, in my opinion.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like it's a really weird sport to, like, mess with, because it's not like basketball where you can take time off and that changes the time. You can't cut innings off. I think that's silly.
Yeah.
And you know, because then you'd have to start all the way from the bottom. So you'd what? Regular baseball games in high school are going to be down to 6 innings, and that's Little League time. And what, Little League games are going to be down to 4 innings? Like, that's stupid. that's a whole different issue. And I would assume they would do that with other sports.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would probably think about maybe the series, making them shorter and do a lot more, as opposed to three to four inning series, maybe just two, or I get the travel is a little bit different. But I can't imagine it being anything crazy. Or really look at the schedule. Like, how are you going up with the AL versus the NL because of the DH? I love the DH, for the record, but I think either we need to all embrace it or get rid of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love the fact that it extends careers. So I think if either we leave it how it is or embrace it all. I think getting rid of it's stupid because mm-hmm. people love to complain about it, but then were you really ready to say goodbye to David Ortiz when he was a DH for a bajillion years? No, you aren't. And these older players who can't really get around the bases that well can continue their careers. Like, obviously, I'm a huge Joey Votto fan.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not going to be able to run, I want to make sure that homeboy is safe for another few years and he can go to an American League team and still hit. And, you know, we talk about in those aspects, and it gets me mad. And I just feel like, you know, that's whatever. And then, you know, we're paying attention more to the balls. If the balls are juiced, I think that definitely needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think harsher punishment for people that commit domestic violence.
Right.
I think that's, comparing that to steroids is bullshit. I think it's absolute bullshit. And I feel if you lay your hand on a woman and you get only 25 whatever games it is, but you do an illegal substance, everybody else is doing, and you get 90 games for that, that pisses
yeah.
me off.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge thing for me. And so those are probably that's probably the number one thing I would look at. And, you know, be more woman friendly. You know, don't just pass out stuff that only men can relate to and really go out there and ask women what we want to see. Women make up a huge chunk of fans in not just baseball, but all sports.
Yeah.
So I think that this is, I think it's super, super important. And I hope that they're paying attention to that. And not just women, but, you know, are we bringing other communities together, like lesbian, gay, trans communities? Are we bringing them together, different minorities, different races? Is everybody being included in a stupid sport that's 55-plus-year-old white man? You know, I walk in, I don't fit the damn demographic, but I'm not going to be scared about it.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that you're not, like, you know, insecurity's good too. Like, sometimes I'm scared to go to games because I get, like, weird stalkers on social media.
Mm.
So I want to make sure that I'm not freaking out in that aspect. So those are probably the main things that I would probably pay attention to if I was ever given a chance to be the commissioner.
Man, and once upon a time, there was no interleague play until, like, the mid-90s. I just remembered that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because I was, oh, God, I'm so old. But I was in high school when this happened. And they were so excited about interleague play. I was like, this wasn't happening before? It was so weird to me.
Right.
Yeah. And you mentioned women. Let's segue to that a little bit. But I have a friend whose daughter actually is on a girls' baseball travel team. And,
awesome.
You know, I'm seeing some baseball being played by girls and young women. But maybe I'm just ignorant about this whole thing. But why aren't more women playing baseball? And why isn't there a women's pro baseball league? And I know there was one way back in the 40s and whatnot. But this is strange to me.
So here's the thing. I played baseball up until my sophomore year of high school. And why do you think I stopped playing?
Yeah, because there were...
Because...
Yeah.
Well, the coach of the high school team straight up said I was going to make the team. He's like, sorry, I'm not going to put you on this team because they're softball. Which, at the time, I didn't have the balls. If you know me, you know, like, I don't take any from anyone.
Right.
But at the time, I was too scared to say, no. So that's what pissed me off is people weren't understanding that baseball and softball are two different sports. It
mm-hmm.
was so difficult for me to have to adjust to playing softball. And then people say, why didn't you start softball earlier? I was like, why would I need the choice? I was never given a chance to try out for that baseball team. And that's what pissed me off. And I was word of mouth, and I passed it down from generation to generation. So I think a lot of women and girls were scared of that. And college opportunities, think about it that way. There's college women's softball, which is fantastic. And would you rather play in baseball where the college baseball, I mean, College World Series is great, but the amount of media that gets covered is towards women college softball. So I think that is something, and women are scared about those opportunities, and that's why I quit to play softball, because I didn't think I was going to be able to play professional baseball, and that's because there wasn't any professional baseball. And so I think now that women are becoming stronger, and it's a little bit different, don't you want to, like, even my body couldn't adjust to playing baseball, as weird as it sounds, and to play a boys' sport, it was just, it's hard to explain, but, like, my body just wasn't the right shape to play baseball, but it was the right shape to play softball, and that's just a science kind of thing. And I think that it's also just not that popular. Like, you get a few words of mouth and whatever, but I don't think a woman's ever going to play on a major league baseball team. They'll play in the minors, they'll get almost there. I just don't think that there will ever be a woman that plays major league baseball, unfortunately. And I have a weird relationship with that because I think at the beginning I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then later I was like, working in this industry, I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think it would be more of a press type of thing, like the PR, which really pisses me off. Like,
yeah.
If she deserves to play, she should play, not just to sell tickets. And I think that's what's important to think about. But beyond that, I think it's something that should be paid attention to. And if you can't have them play Major League Baseball, then okay, let's do something more for them and think about it that way, because baseball and softball are two different sports, and people need to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe a potential for a women's pro baseball league is right now kind of out of the question?
I think they can do a pro baseball league, but I don't think it's going to be crossed over with Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just puzzled that women, girls were not allowed to play baseball or something. I just find that really weird. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I played with the boys. I was the only girl to make 11, 12 All-Stars for Little League out here in Reno. Mm-hmm. And that was because I was good. It had nothing to do with the fact that I was a girl.
Right.
And that was what was kind of cool, is there was no attention about it. It was like, it wasn't as abnormal as it was until, like, I was in high school. But at the same time, like, I didn't want that attention, but I knew there was a little bit extra attention and more pressure as mm-hmm. a woman. But I liked that. I was like, I can handle this. Like, not a big deal. But like I said, like, the coaches were like, we're not going to put you on this roster. You need to go play softball. And when they don't realize that those are two different sports, that's part of the problem.
Right.
When they think that, oh, well, just go play softball. It's the same thing. No, it isn't. So if we remind ourselves that, we tell other people that, the world will change.
Yeah. So what would be your advice towards young women trying to get into sports media or even sports sports itself? What would you tell them?
Really have a conversation with yourself, have a conversation with God, and have a conversation with people that are in the industry, and really think about if you want to do this. I can't stress to you how tough of a journey it's been to get to where I'm at. I, you know, wanted to quit numerous times, and because it's tough, man. If you don't know the right people, if you don't work hard, people will see right through it. Mm-hmm. And people just think all I do is live tweet baseball games for a living. Sure, it's part of it, and developing a social media following is huge because I want them to click on my stuff. But, you know, the harassment I deal with and the sexual, like, advances I get and the awful DMs from strangers and stalkers I get, sometimes I don't know if that's worth it. Like, there were times where I didn't know if it was worth it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm constantly being told that my job isn't real and stuff like that. So when you realize all the negative crap, if you can handle that, cool. Now you have to figure out what exactly you want to do. And you can't just, you have to be different, which is weird because you also have to be yourself. I can't stress that. Bill Gates from ESPN sent me something as simple as just be yourself. And it sounds stupid, but this social media is filled to the brim with fake-ass people.
Yeah.
And I used to be that way. I used to like, tweet that I was doing something when really I was sitting there picking my nose. I'm like, I'm really not making cookies. Why did I tweet that I was making cookies in lingerie when I was actually sitting there picking my nose? Like, why would I want that negative attention? So I changed my mind. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be more real. And now people are approaching me saying, like, it's so refreshing that you're real and you say who you are. And if I'm ever on my YouTube show and somebody approaches me in person, I don't want them to think that they have to treat me any differently because I'm two different people in front of a camera on a podcast or in person, because the industry has a ton of those people and all those people suck. They absolutely suck.
Yeah, yeah.
They really do. So you really have to work hard and you have to have a lot of humility and you have to have an extremely amount of thick skin because women are the biggest target. They really are, because they don't think that we can handle it. And that's not just men. I got harassed by women more when I first started than men. And the names would shock you, because they're girls that have really good jobs and are prominent in this industry. And then they lost their job because, you know, they were sleeping with the wrong person. Now they're asking me for jobs. So just be careful with who you look up to in this industry, because, you know, like they say, don't meet your heroes. And I've done it a couple times and it really broke my heart. Don't get me wrong, there's amazing people. Like, my mentors have been phenomenal. Some of my best friends are the greatest people I've met thanks to sports media and social media. But it's tough. And I'm not saying it's any tougher than any other industry, but this is what I know. And, you know, my DMs are always open. If you genuinely are serious about considering this, send me a DM, email me, and I will have a phone call with you, and we'll talk it out. And it happens. I talk to somebody at least, like, every other week, and we discuss, like, is this something you genuinely want to do? Because we make it look sexy, right? And you only see the good parts. You only see me posting my good stuff. But there are times when I go to bed crying because it's something that somebody said or a stalker that resurfaces and stuff like that. So just make sure that you're ready for it. That's the easiest advice I can really give.
Great and terrifying stuff, honestly. Like, I mean, even as a... I'm a man of color, obviously, but, like, I don't get as near as, you know, many as you do. Like, I'm not even close. Like, sure, I get death threats or whatever, or they want me deported or whatever, that sort of thing. But it's not even close to what you get. And, you know, it's terrifying and it sucks. And I really wish there'll be a time where women don't get that anymore, and obviously we're a long way from that, so it sucks. That's all I can say. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But you know, we have such a good support system, and when I first got in the industry, there wasn't that, you know? Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people out there who've made... The road's going to be bumpy, but the Sarah Spains of the world, mm-hmm. the Katie Nolans of the world, the Michelle Beatles of the world, Julie DeCarlo, who I absolutely adore... Mm-hmm. The road's going to be bumpy, but those women made it a little bit less bumpy. Mm-hmm. And that's what's kind of amazing about it.
Yeah, definitely. We both got very good support systems. I mean, like when I first stepped on, like, a decade ago, it's like, I got nothing but great support from all the basketball media, so... And I'm sure you...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you're getting great support from fellow women in sports media as well, so hopefully the road will get a little less bumpy as it goes on, so...
Right.
Quick hits. Favorite Guilty Pleasure songs right now. I guess, unless you don't count them as Guilty Pleasure, but...
My Alan Walker, Faded, is a song that I can't stop listening to. Drunk Me by Michael Tenpenny.
Uh-huh.
Dragula by Rob Zombie. Rewrite the Stars by whatever that movie is. And I've been into, like, some 90s R&B a lot. Like, I just put, like, Neo and Fabulous back on my Spotify, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Reggaeton, I am obsessed with reggaeton.
Nice.
Obsessed. It's the best stuff to work out to. Don Omar is always on my list, and he's just been great. Luis Fonsi, Calypso, is a great song, too. And I just downloaded this remake to the Macarena. Like, I love reggaeton. And every now, like, in my country... And I like my death metal, too. I like Motionless in White. I just went to Warped Tour, and I discovered Motionless in White, and I love them. I love my, you know, my emo song, All Time Low is great. So those are probably, like, the ones that I'm extremely embarrassed of. But the one I'm not embarrassed of is ABBA. I listen to ABBA until I die. That is the best.
Mm-hmm.
ABBA's amazing. Even the Mamma Mia soundtrack is really good. Like, Cher did her rendition of Fernando. Hell yeah, woman. Use the diva. Do your thing. Yeah. That's the quote embarrassing stuff.
Okay. I've seen you make some wrestling tweets, so who's your all-time favorite wrestler?
Undertaker.
Okay. That's good.
Because he's the only man who can do his eyeliner better than me.
And I went the entire show without calling you Topanga. Are you proud of me?
I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I just posted a picture of me at a baseball field the other day, and I got a lot of, like, dang, you look like Topanga, which, you know what? I used to be annoyed by that, but I'm like, bring it. She's a babe.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm glad you embraced that. And the funny thing is that, like, I think she also likes wrestling as well. I just recently found that out, so.
She does. She's a new wrestling fan. And actually, so her first name's Danielle, and that's my middle name.
Wow. So what happens? Yeah. What happens if you ever meet her? Like, I think the world would explode. Probably, I don't know.
I think we're just gonna probably compliment each other with how pretty one another is. I would assume. You're pretty. No, you're pretty. No, you're pretty. No, you're pretty.
Fantastic. Yeah. Go ahead and publicize your social media, your internet works, whatever you want to publicize. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you can follow me on the Twitter at KleinschmidtJD. My Instagram is Jessica Kleinschmidt, pretty easy to find. Cut4, MLB.com/Cut4 is where all of our work is. My YouTube channel is on MLB's YouTube channel. You can just Google search Infinite Jess and you'll find me. And all my social media is pretty available, and just search me and you can find all of my stuff. I try not to add a billion people on my Facebook. I'm trying to keep it to people I know, but every now and then I'll add somebody in the industry just because, like, you never know. But try not to send me a bunch of Facebook requests because I get really annoyed. I will not buy your It Works protein shakes from you. I won't do it.
Alright. Yeah. So what do they call you? Jess? Jesse? Jessica? Topanga? What nicknames do you accept?
I prefer Jess. I get Topanga all the time, but and Jesse is the name is a name that I was called when I was younger. But it's usually Jess and Topanga every now and then, and Jessica or just Kleinschmidt. I like being called Kleinschmidt. It's very casual. like, it reminds me when I played softball, but Jess is what I usually prefer. If I like you, like, if I've never met you and, like, you're a complete stranger and I introduce myself as Jessica and you call me Jess, I'm like, no, my name is Jessica. You can't call me something that I know. So if I'm cool with you, call me Jess. But I like Jessica when I'm published because I want people to know that, like, a woman wrote that.
I'm just, if you're gonna let me call you Jess, but I'm weirded out because, like, my brother's name is Jess, so I'd feel weird calling you Jess, you know? So, I don't know.
There's worse things that we could call each other, I suppose.
That's true. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this, Jess.
Thank you. It's an honor. I've been trying to get on this dang podcast for years.
For years? I just recorded this. Okay.
I know. I've been trying to do this forever.
Okay. Well, I'll have you back at some point. Maybe during the World Series. That'll be perfect, right? Hopefully.
Ooh, I like that, yes.
Hopefully. Okay, cool. Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.